bringing the stories of people just like us directly into your home and learning more about them. This is Trent Speaks. And it's Trent Speaks with a guest this week, but you'll have to wait a minute for that. If you hear beeping in the background, that would be because there's construction going on outside my apartment. It's great, though, because it's been fun to watch them start that, and so it'll be cool to watch start to finish on that. What's not going to be cool is all the noise, because recording earlier in the week, it's around 7 o'clock already, and they are still going, and that's been the same for about a week now, and they're going to go until about November. Lucky me. But I'll be excited because there won't be potholes in the road anymore, and no one really likes potholes except Domino's, because apparently they're making money in marketing off of it. A couple of weeks ago, I talked about in the Seattle podcast how I brought about 25 business cards with me and didn't hand out a single one because I was way too nervous to approach anyone, and it was outside of my comfort zone. And I talked about how we needed challenge ourselves to step outside of our comfort zone and put ourselves in those uncomfortable situations. And my aunt actually had texted me. I said that a couple weeks ago. She had texted me and said how it was a great point to hear and to be made and talked about. Well, this past weekend I was in Appleton. It's in the Green Bay area. And I was with a couple friends and we saw this singer. It was a mutual friend of a friend, essentially. I have a friend. Her name is Taylor. Taylor has a friend. And her friend's friend was the one singing. I know, it gets complicated. But anyway, she was from Nashville, and so she was actually singing in Appleton because she's from the Milwaukee area. Her name is Nora Collins. And she actually came up to Taylor and said, "Are you Taylor?" and started talking to her. And she's only ever seen pictures of Taylor on Facebook. And so I was there as well. And so it's me, Taylor, and her husband all talking to this Nora lady. And she's telling me how she's open for Dustin Lynch. She's open for Trace Atkins. She's going to be opening for Randy Houser at the Indiana State Fair next week. And she walked away, and a couple minutes later I said to Taylor and her husband, "Gosh, she would be a really great person to have on the podcast. I bet she'd have an awesome story." And I actually didn't think I did, but then I realized I had business cards with me in my wallet. I always carry them because you never know. So I challenged myself to go up to her after her set, and I told her, you loved your music. You have an awesome voice. It was great listening to you. Really, I could listen to her all day, though I didn't say that because I didn't want to sound creepy. But I said, "Hey, just real quick, I'm trying to be a speaker right now. I have a podcast that I do every week where I share other people's stories. If I gave you this card, would you be interested in ever being on the podcast potentially?" Unfortunately, she doesn't really make those decisions anymore because she is a publicist. But she told me she'd pass it along to her publicist, and we'll see what happens from there. So you never know. But again, you put yourself in those uncomfortable situations. My friend Kyle, he told me, he was trying, "I've never seen you so this nervous in my life." And that's true. I was literally almost shaking, and I could just feel myself almost start to sweat. But you got to put yourself in those uncomfortable situations because you never know what could happen. I have Big Brother on in the background right now. Live feeds are up because it's Big Brother season. One of my coworkers, he is an avid Big Brother watcher. You know, the minute that they go on air, the live feeds are up on his TV all the time. I finally got roped into purchasing CBS All Access, so now I have live feeds up. And my guest today loves, very sarcastically, reality TV. So they're up in the background. Turn the volume off because copyright stuff, FCC. I don't actually know if that's true. I just didn't want to have it as background noise. I'd rather have apparently construction vehicles. I digress. And I wrote another note here, and I have no idea what it says. So I'm just going to introduce my guest this week. This is Isaiah. And we are here talking about Whiskey.
Hello, Trent, and thank you for having me on Trent Speaks. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing well. Isaiah has listened to a couple of podcasts. A lot of my coworkers and everything know what I do and the passion that I have for podcasting. And Isaiah, what was the thought in your mind of, I want to talk about whiskey because I know a lot about that?
Well, I know I talk to you and like all my coworkers about my affinity for whiskey. I like drinking whiskey over every type of other beer or liquor. But on top of that, I knew you were looking to reach out for more stories and more things to do on your podcast. And I just figured, why not?
Well, and this is a fun one, too.
Yeah, so we're going to be tasting all the plethora of whiskeys from, we're going to travel across the world in the comfort right here.
Which, well, I would rather travel across the world literally, but sometimes financial and time off can impede that.
Yeah. So I guess before we get into the actual sampling, a little history for you. So do you know why we call it whiskey?
I don't even have a single guess.
Okay, so
do they use whisks to with keys? I
don't. So way back when, the word whiskey itself comes from the Gaelic word uscabetha, which is probably my horrible translation and or pronunciation of Gaelic. It means water of life. That from uscabetha turned into usky, and then later whiskey. Common spelling. When it was first introduced way back when by Irish monks, it was used as a medicine almost, just to cure any type of ailments. Now we don't. I guess we still cure some type of ailments, but not the ones that these Irish monks did back in the 15th century.
Was that where it originated, where they would rub it on like the gums of babies, or is that just something
that's rum?
Oh, okay.
You could put whiskey in an infant's mouth. I don't know if they're going to enjoy it as much.
Well, and especially today, I probably wouldn't do that. But I know back in the day they used to.
Yeah, because it just serves as like a pain relieving agent, okay. But more so.
But not whiskey.
It
not
got whiskey. You a little drunk and little
loose. Well, yeah.
So I guess the first one we have right here is Jameson. So Jameson's an Irish whiskey, and I guess before we go into like exactly what makes Jameson Jameson, let me go into like the entire process of making whiskey, because there's a lot goes into it that more people probably don't understand. And by no means am I a whiskey expert. I've just been on so many distillery tours. I've like read so much about different type of whiskeys that I've learned to differentiate different ones.
Okay, before you go into that, because I know that I know you obviously, and these people don't necessarily know you. In a little bit, I'll explain kind of the nice layout that Isaiah has here. But how did you get into whiskey? Because obviously, beer is, when you first start drinking beer, it's something that's an acquired taste.
Yeah.
And I imagine that whiskey or rum or anything like that, bourbon, scotch, those are all, I would assume, acquired tastes as well.
Yes.
So how did you get into whiskey, and like where did your love for it come from? Because I know you, that's primarily your choice of beverage.
Yes. And so it took me a while to actually think, because that question ran through my mind. It's like, when did I start drinking just whiskey? Like, I know like a couple of years ago when I cut out soda, I used to do whiskey Coke and all of that. But once I cut it out, I was like, what else can I do? Because I really kind of like the taste of whiskey. Rather than throwing them back, I read different ways and methods of just like drinking it, whether you're having it neat on the rocks or in a drink. And so like, rather than constantly mixing them in cocktails, because that's just a lot of sugar, I start slowly getting to the neat side. But it took me a while to get there. I think the first time I've really delved into whiskey was after, I want to say undergrad. I listened to a song by, it's a cover by John Lee Hooker. It's called Bourbon Shot Beer. I think most people know it now. I forget the artist who covered it from him. But it just talks about the being in a nightclub, having a bourbon, a scotch, and a beer.
10 rounds of Jose Cuervo. Wrong beverage. That's tequila.
Yeah. But, like, after hearing this song, I was like, let me try it. First, I did what everyone does. Oh, let me put this very high alcohol content type of beverage straight down my throat. And it burned the ever-lovingness out of my throat. And I think from there, it went to just doing it as shots, because college, that's what you do.
Yeah.
And then straight into, like, just mixed drinks and stuff, like bourbon old-fashioned, whiskey old-fashioned, stuff like that.
What is the way you prefer to do it now? Are you more of a – because is it neat or nice?
Neat.
Neat? Okay, is that on the rocks or that's just in a glass?
So I guess
I'm jumping ahead, aren't I?
Oh, no. Neat is just a very fancy way of just saying I want some whiskey with nothing in it.
No ice.
Yeah, no ice. On the rocks means with ice. Because on the rocks. There's different ways you can
see. Are those really the only two ways?
No, there's about five ways to really consume whiskey. So you can have it in the shot form. You can have it neat. You can have it on the rocks. You can have it as mixed drink. Or you can just have it in a cocktail. Did I say mixed drink? With a little water. And I'll talk to you more about that a little bit later.
Okay. All right. Talk to me about... Well, you didn't want to talk to me about Jameson right away, right?
Yeah, I was going to talk to you about how we make whiskey. So whiskey and beer are kind of on the same parallels as it comes to being made. There's a change after, like, step three from where beer becomes beer and where beer whiskey becomes whiskey. So there are four main cereal grains that we use to make beer and whiskey, mainly whiskey. We have barley.
Hops.
Hops is for beer. That's what gives it that bitterness flavor.
Of course, the one that I guess is incorrect. Okay.
But we have barley, rye,
wheat,
wheat, yes. And I am forgetting my last
water.
Not water. Corn. Why would I forget corn is in bourbon?
Did you know corn is a fruit, vegetable, and a grain?
I did not know it was a fruit.
I learned that last night. Jenna was actually telling me that.
Really?
Yeah, we looked it up. She didn't get far enough or care enough to read how it became a fruit, but only to know how it's a vegetable and a grain.
I wonder if that was similar to, like, the tomato incident back when they were doing taxes on items. And so there was a whole Supreme Court case to determine whether a tomato was a fruit or a vegetable.
Maybe. See, this is what happens in the podcast.
Oh, you are completely
fine. You hear one thing
and
you get right off topic.
But going back from those four different types of grains, they either get malted or not malted. And malted just means a different way of germination. So you start having these grains open up, and then you immediately stop once they begin to do that, and then you grind them up, just so there's more surface area for water.
Is that different than fermentation?
That's different.
Okay.
And, like, fermentation happens late in the process.
Okay.
After that, it goes into a mash and cooks, and from there, that's just getting more sugar or starch out, sugar out of the starches, so the yeast has things to feed on. And then comes the fermentation process.
Okay.
So all the stuff gets pumped into a fermenter, some yeast is added, and the whole yeast eats the sugar, poops out ethanol, and then that's where we get our alcohol, mainly. And so this is kind of where it differentiates between beer and then, like, mainly all the other spirits out there. When it comes to whiskey, this distiller's beer, as it's called, gets funneled into a distill. And so, do you know how a distill works? I'm assuming.
Please explain.
Not. The bottom of the distill heats up, creating steam. And so, in that steam comes all the ethanol, and that gets filtered through a tube, and it slowly drips out all the alcohol, separating it from the water. So you have all the water, base water left, and then you have this liquid that's just a high content of alcohol, like your high ABV.
So essentially, it's almost helping you to not have watered-down whiskey, in a way.
Yeah, and I guess an easier way to think about this is when that process happens, that's how you get moonshine. Like, you have that high liquid, high alcohol content that you can technically drink from there, but Like I said, it probably
would burn this down. Would this part of the process, the distilling process, have anything to do between bottom shelf and top shelf whiskeys?
No.
Okay.
They all do the same thing. They might do things a little bit different as for like what type of grains they're using, because there's
so that's what could distinguish those,
that,
essentially.
How it gets aged.
Okay.
And the aging process comes a little later after the distilling. But yeah, going from that. After distilling, you get this white whiskey or ghost whiskey. You've probably seen it on the shelves, just like this clear label thing, marked whiskey. Then it's time to put in a barrel. And while it's in that barrel, it ages. And so over the seasons, in the winter, it shrinks up. And summer expands. When it expands, the whiskey gets pushed within the grains. And then when it contracts in the winter, it pulls all that sugar and all that coloring from the wood.
Oh, my gosh. That's where the coloring comes from?
Yeah. And so as you can see, like, all of these different whiskeys have that, like, barrel-esque. I have a barrel on the table. That's what I'm pointing at. Have that natural wood color. And that's because they're getting it solely from the barrel. There are countries where you can do additive coloring. But here in the great United States of America, we have something in our legal statutes that say you can't do additives. But yeah.
All right. Pause. Take a short break. Just kidding. It's not actually a short break, but I need to get my phone so I can post a picture of this on the podcast. This is Trent not being prepared. What's new?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Do you want the glasses on there?
All right. We're still recording. Still rolling. Okay. This podcast stops for nothing. This is raw, real, unedited. Literally unedited, because I'm not taking that out of there. All right.
But, yeah, going from the distilling process and then into the maturing where we get the coloring. Then once it gets taken out of those barrels, that's when they kind of do the mix and mingle. I'll talk more on the mix and mingling later, because it'll make sense as I talk about it then. And then after that process happens, it's the dilute or bottle. Not dilute or bottle. Dilute or don't, and then bottle. So after the mix and mingle process, some of them are ready to go. Some of them, the alcohol content's still too high, and so they have to put a little water in it just to bring it down before they can bottle it.
See, now that just opened up a door of questions from me. The dilution. Is there a certain, I guess maybe this is more of a two-part question. Is there a certain percentage they're looking for, or is it that they can't be over a certain percentage?
So every company is going to be different. There are some legal, and I'll talk about that a little later, because that's more when we get to bourbon. It can't be bottled any less than, it can't be distilled, it can't be barreled less than a certain proof.
Okay.
But with everything else, it's just you want people to enjoy your beverage. You don't want people to just like take a sip and then realize they're never going to drink that again. And so everything up here, I think, is 40%. I know there's 145%, and that's just because that's how the company makes that.
What is typical?
Typical, I think, around that 35 to 45 range for your most of your whiskeys. Your bourbons are going to be 40 and up, and that's just because there's like that legal statute.
Okay, so I see you pointing out the bourbon sitting here. What is, and maybe there's not one, I'm just this illiterate. Illiterate? Is that the term I'm looking for?
Literate means to read. Illiterate means not to read.
What if I'm not up to knowledge on something?
Naive? I think that's
I don't know. I digress. Anyway, is there a difference between bourbon and whiskey, or are they one and the same?
I forget the saying, like, all squares are rectangles, and not all rectangles are squares. Is it that?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
All bourbon is whiskey, but not all whiskey is bourbon.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay. All bourbon is whiskey, though.
Yes, and so
okay.
As you can see on the Jim Beam. Bourbon, whiskey, it's right under it.
Okay, so you probably know this then, and you're going to correct me when I butcher this. my mom, about a year or so ago, her, my stepdad, and my sister all went to a distillery in Kentucky. And actually, they were telling me, or my mom was so impressed. She was telling me all these facts. But that in order for it to be a Kentucky bourbon, it has to be in the barrel X amount of time. There is a minimum of how long it has to be in the barrel for it to be considered.
Yes. So, in the United States, I guess I'll talk to it about it now. There is a federal statute.
I knew I was jumping ahead.
Oh no. I mean, we can drink right now. We can just do all the talking now and then drink later. It's your podcast. But there's the Code of Federal Regulations 522, and it states what is whiskey. And what is bourbon and what bourbon has to be.
Oh, wow.
So within that statute, it says bourbon has to be at least made in America. It can't be anywhere else.
Really?
Yeah. To be called bourbon.
Oh, my gosh.
It has to be made 51% of corn, so that mash that we make, 51% of it has to be corn.
Which is where that ingredient earlier comes in. Okay.
And then there's, I don't remember off the top of my head, but there's different things of where it has to be, not where it has to be bottled, but the alcohol content when it's bottled, when it's put in a barrel, because of the whole, when it's in a barrel, it has the angel's share, the devil's cut. I don't know if you've ever heard that terminology before. So when it's in the aging, when it's in the aging process, about 1% gets evaporated every year just because of that shrinking and expanding of wood. That's called the angel's share.
Okay.
Coincidentally or not coincidentally, I think that's the right word. Anyway, we'll go with it.
We're just going to use words we shouldn't on the podcast.
The whiskey that gets stuck in the grain from that expanding and contracting is called the devil's cut. So if you think you have a standard cask or barrel, you're losing, depending on how long you're aging that, a significant amount.
Right.
And like I know Jim Beam introduced their devil's cut as what they're – they've extracted some of that whiskey the actual wood and mixing it in with some of their other whiskey to create that more smoky and oaky flavor.
Smoky and oaky. Nice.
But going back to your original question when you're talking to about the bourbon. So there's some people in Kentucky that are like the purists that think it's not bourbon unless it comes from Kentucky, which is not true. It can be anywhere in the United States, Alaska, Hawaii, as long as it's made with 51% corn. There's different terminologies under bourbon. So you have Kentucky straight bourbon, which it has to, I believe, be barreled in Kentucky for at least 2 years to become to be at least named a straight bourbon. And I think yeah,
it is. Jimmy, yep. I was looking at that while I was talking about it actually. Yeah.
And there's another one, but I can't think of it right now. So I'll probably have to tell you later. Comment on the page.
All right. So one of the Well, you know, I'm going to save this question for after we start tasting.
Okay.
So, I don't know if you have something you want to hit on first before you answer this. So, if you don't want to answer this first and you want to talk about something else, you just tell me to shut up and you do your own thing. Because you said it's my podcast, but you're the guest. So, really, this is your podcast today. What is the proper way, or is there a proper way? I know the answer, but is there a proper way? What is it to drink whiskey?
So kind of like I said before, there's those five main ways of drinking whiskey. There's the neat with water, on the rocks, cocktail, or as a shot. But there's one true way. How do you drink whiskey? Whatever the hell way you want. After you buy it, it's yours. Whether you get like Pappy's 23, which is about $200-something a shot.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's aged for 23 years. If you want to put that in some Coke and drink it, you pay $200-something for that shot. You deserve the right to do that. If you want to throw it on the ground, be my guest too. I like to drink mine neat because it gives me a better chance to explore the flavors within that.
And which is how we're drinking it today, yes? Okay.
However, if you find drinking it neat is a little still too powerful for your palate because you're introducing a high alcohol content beverage to your soft palate,
right.
It's going to burn. A few drops of distilled water will also help bring out those flavors and lessen that burn.
What about tap water?
Tap water. the water here is fine because we use it at the brewery. I don't know, it undergoes like a charcoal thing, but it's fine drinking water. It's just some of the minerals might affect small nuance and tastes here and there.
Okay. Yeah, if you didn't know, Stevens Point actually has award-winning water, and the Stevens Point Brewery uses it. Fun fact for you.
Plug. But we're going to start off in Ireland, and so we have some Jameson here.
But unfortunately, like we said, we're not actually in Ireland.
And because we have six to
pouring it into our sample glasses that Isaiah brought. We're not going to
be drinking the entire thing.
Pewaukee, is that how you say that?
Yeah, it's. I got these from the craft beer cellar in Pewaukee, Wisconsin, nearby Milwaukee. So I guess I'll go over like proper technique and whatnot. Please. So as you can see, I have two different glasses here. One just straight like tumbler glass that you probably see.
That's before. What I have in my cupboard. Now, is there, because I see even when you're at the bar, they might pour you into a different glass, whether it's a pint glass or a bowl glass. I don't know what you call those glasses.
So this is more of like a tulip, and the main purpose of this shape is it's keeping all those scents bottled in and coming out one direction versus if you put it in like one of these glasses, they all escape out. So this is just more focusing all that evaporation.
So if I'm going to drink whiskey, I should not do it in a tumbler glass is what you're saying.
If you want to like really study what you're drinking, this like they have glasses that are about $50. These were like $10. They're kind of the knockoff brands because as much as I really enjoy whiskey, I like paying more for the actual whiskey and not the vehicle.
Yes. Yes.
But this just helps provide that straightway smell into you, and so. Do you feel a little burn right there?
I do. Yeah, I'm smelling it, and I can feel the burn already.
So there's one of the things we'll talk about.
And I'm not talking about Bernie Sanders.
You know how when sometimes you smell something, you can taste it?
Yeah.
That's kind of the process you're going to
almost like the aroma I can taste.
And so when you, like, because this is a small amount, you're not going to, like, pass out from that burn because you're smelling pure ethane, I believe it's. But when you smell it, it gets locked in right there. So part of what you want to do when you smell is open your mouth a little. So when you smell, that smell goes back and comes out, and you can almost really...
So just like parting my lips.
Yeah, parting your lips and breathe in through both. And you can smell a little more of that.
Oh, yeah.
Different thing.
And it's not as... is it because you open your mouth? Because it doesn't feel you're creating like it a burns tunnel. As much. Okay.
And so when you keep your mouth closed, you're just like keeping it locked up in your nasal cavity versus parting your lips and keeping it out.
So if I start drinking whiskey, or if anyone on here starts drinking whiskey, the best way to start once you pour in your glass so that it... Because, we talked about this the other day, and I don't even remember how it came up, but I know you're going to go through this. But you smell it, and there's a certain way that you should sip it, and that you should. So I guess, what are those steps?
So I feel these things really come in fives, right? So not a lot separates really experiencing whiskey than, like, wine or, for some, beer. You're looking at the color, trying to see like that nice brown,
the
copper. that just shows you how it was aged because Jameson is aged for about 5 to 7 years.
Yes, it has been in a barrel.
And so from there, you breathe it in just slightly just to get that taste in the back of your mouth to prepare your palate for what's going to come. And so you...
Is this like scientifically proven?
I don't know. I remember...
or maybe not scientifically, but is it proven?
I watched this documentary that had Fred No, I believe. He's the current master distiller from Jim Beam. And he was talking about how to really experience whiskey. And he calls it the Kentucky Chew. Whether he developed that or if that's just something that comes from that area. But that entire process is looking at it, you smell it, you introduce a little to your palate, you chew on it, and introducing it to all areas of your mouth.
How do you chew on whiskey?
It sounds weird. Like, you're not physically chewing. It's more of like a sapping or...
Like a swishing?
Not swishing, but like a, like, not puckering. But
okay, so when I do this, I'm going to smell it.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to sip it.
Yeah, so you'll take, like... Probably the smallest of sips, because once again, you're going in complete, not blind, but right. You haven't been drinking, and so you don't want this to completely burn the inside of your
right.
mouth. So you take a small sip to small get that sip. Flavor and that introduce the alcohol content. This down. Small sip. You work it over your tongue from side to side. You'll smack a couple of times. Yeah.
Okay.
To like make sure you get all crevices, and then you'll allow it to go down. And that'll...
Hold on. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Am I multitasking? Am I sipping? And while that liquid is still in my mouth, I'm smacking?
Yeah, so I'll demonstrate it.
Please
so
do.
You see, I visually inspect. I don't really care for the coloring. I know I see the coloring and like...
Yes, you see it's been in a barrel.
Yeah, it's been in a barrel. I smell it.
Color has been extracted.
I'm not at the point where I can differentiate different minute smells into, like, different
maybe
things.
Maybe one
like,
day.
Yeah. Because when I was looking up all of these things, I looked up what are common phrases that professional tasters experience when they smell, taste,
oh, use some
and,
of them.
We'll what, pretend. Finish it, so.
Pretend like you're a professional.
So, I smell toasted wood. I taste those sherry bottles or barrels that the sherry has been, like, aged in.
I smell alcohol.
See, minor nuance is that I haven't had that experience. And you'll find that with everything. It's what we can relate the taste or the smell to versus what it actually tastes like. Because there's some in here that people said wood glue. I'm like, I've never... had wood glue.
That's interesting.
I've probably smelt it before, and so I can probably
never tasted that. I don't remember that in my childhood.
Get where you're going with, and the same. One of them said banana, and so I'm just thinking, like, I haven't had this particular rye before, but I'm
going to.
I don't know if I'm going to be tasting like a full-on banana, if that's just the flavor it's going to remind me of.
So this is what people... What? Okay, so what we're tasting, are you able to say what people have said about our Jameson?
Yeah, so the Jameson, someone wrote, it's a mellow pot still whiskey with toasted wood and sherry undertone. So sherry's... Jameson used...
Cherry?
Sherry.
Oh.
So like the wine.
Like the lady.
Not sherry.
Yeah.
But sherry's a type of wine that's also aged in barrels, and so Jameson gets used barrels, puts their product in there, so their whiskey's absorbing not only the wood, but that flavor from the sherry as well.
Okay.
And so, smell.
See, he's sipping.
Working it around.
Oh, okay.
And allow finish. That burns... 100% less than what it would have if I just went for it.
Okay.
So I'll let you try it. So we'll look at the coloring.
Oh, yes. Look at those sherry undertones.
Smell it with the parted lips. Try to get that flavor in. Small sip.
I didn't even get any because I'm going so slow. Because I want a small sip. That glass is a lot bigger than I thought
it
was.
Yeah, it is. So you'll take a small sip, and then you'll feel it coat your tongue, go all over your mouth, smack it a couple times to aerate it, and then allow it to naturally come down.
I think it was leaking out my mouth a little bit.
Yeah, but don't actually, look down when you're smacking, too.
Actually, that is probably the... like the smoothest I've ever drank whiskey because you're right. It really
does.
You're
not shocking your system.
I don't think you don't realize it until you do it because I was like, this is crazy. This is not going to work. I can't get over that. I don't feel like a burn right now.
And like, you're going to look foolish doing this, like, at a dive bar or whatnot.
Right.
But, like, this is how you have to prepare yourself, because you could also go in there wanting to feel every burn if it's been that type of night or day or week or weekend.
I used to drink Gentleman Jack. And that, I could feel the burn because I did not apparently do it correctly.
And then what you'll notice with every subsequent sip.
Am I still smelling before?
No, you don't have to. Oh. Like, it's already in your palate.
So now what am I doing, though?
You're just taking
a regular small
sip. Small sips.
I'm not
anymore? No, you don't have to. Oh. That entire thing is just to introduce it to your palate. And so you'll notice now with every subsequent sip, you'll taste the flavor and not necessarily the burn unless you let it go straight to your windpipe.
Yeah, I let that one. Oh, jeez. I let that one hit the back of my throat.
Yeah, and so.
And that wasn't. Okay, so I'll tell you what not to do. Don't, like, let it skip over your tongue and just smack the back of your throat, because, tears coming out of my eye right now. Oh, man.
But yeah, so it's just a casual sipper.
As I literally just said, oh, yeah, it's really great after you.
And so what you're kind of supposed to taste with this is sweet, almost honey that's been toasted. And, like, I get that sweetness, and it reminds me of that honeyness. you need to drink some water. Like,
no, I'm finishing this.
Okay. But
it smacks the back of my throat every time now.
Because you're doing it too fast. Like, introducing to your mouth.
Actually, I think I had too much that time.
So, but yeah, that was Jameson. What are your initial thoughts?
It's good. I taste the undertone of sherry. I also taste toasted wood. It's like toasted marshmallow, but woody.
Okay.
Actually, I'm just taking that from your notes. no, I like it. It has this, I don't know. I mean, I'm no professional. And again, I'm stealing from your notes, but I imagine this is probably what wood tastes like. Not like I'm chewing on wood.
Not you're like you're chewing wood. But yeah, this is like that natural sugar that is pulling from the wood. Because otherwise, none of the sweetness is in there when it comes out.
Okay.
All of that flavor is coming from wherever it's been pulled out of.
So now, do we have to clean these, or are we good with
We can, but we're good to leave them.
All right, yeah, we'll just leave them.
But that goes back to when...
So what was the alcohol content of that?
So this is 40% 80 proof. And so...
Tell me what these numbers mean, because, you know, I always hear these numbers, and I'm like, oh, yeah... Yes. Cool, yeah.
So the percentage, 40%, like the ABV alcohol by volume, I think the B stands for something else, but that's essentially what it is. It's 40%. This is 40% water, or 40% alcohol, 60% water. The proof stems back way back in colonial times where we were taxing things.
Okay.
And so what they did was, if it was a certain proof, it got more taxes on it or not. I'm remembering this, so I have to, like, I might be stretching some of my knowledge here.
Just say it'll sound
but real. Yeah. So what they would do is they'd take some gunpowder, they'd soak it in the liquid, and if it was... And then they set it on fire. And if it burned for a certain amount of time, that was your proof. And so that's how we get proof. How we get, like, the number, that's typically the percentage doubled. So if it's 80 proof, it's 40% alcohol.
Is that always, or that's just...
That's always.
Oh, okay.
So if you, like, Everclear is 90 to 95%.
Woof.
So I believe that's 180 proof. Or
isn't that they can light that on fire?
You
right?
can light any type of whiskey on fire. But like once you get into 60, 65% alcohol, it lights like that.
Okay.
That's why, I don't know if you ever tried traveling with alcohol, but the TSA doesn't allow you to have anything
over
65 or 70% alcohol because it's a combustible fluid at that point.
Okay.
But yeah, and so, Jameson, when I was talking about that six process of mix and mingle, Jameson is a blended whiskey. I was going to say scotch. Scotch is Scotland. People are going to get mad at me. So when stuff comes out of the barrels, the master distiller wants every single batch that they label as Jameson Irish Whiskey Blend to taste the exact same. So what they'll do is they'll take some old batches, some new batches, and mix and mingle it so they get the same taste of single bottle that came before.
Do that every single time?
Almost every company does the same thing unless you have like a single a single malt or single barrel.
Okay.
That means it just came from one barrel.
Okay.
Single malt means it came from one distillery. There's so much terminology that you don't really need to know. It just makes everything you're drinking a little more interesting.
You said scotch. That in Scotland, 100% every scotch comes from Scotland?
Yes. And if... So there's a couple of ways to detect whether it's come from Scotland or not. But in order to be called scotch, kind of how what bourbon is to America, it needs to be produced
scotch in Scotland. Okay.
Same with cognac, has to be in France, champagne, France.
Oh, I never knew that.
That's why it's champagne in France, but it's sparkling wine here.
I bet people in Champaign, Illinois are pretty upset about that one.
I mean, everything gets imported everywhere, and so you can buy champagne here.
True.
It's going to cost you
a little more. Yes. Okay. So we tried, Jameson. How do we cleanse our palate to get ready for the next
one? So there are several ways you can cleanse your palate, and it just kind of depends on you. You can simply drink some water. If you find that's not enough, another way is to smell some coffee or coffee beans. And if you still find that flavor lingering on your tongue, you can eat a saltine cracker.
So it's as simple as just drinking water will suffice?
Yeah, like I drink water, all that tastes like the memory's there, but that's because I've totally experienced that flavor. But it's not clouding my judgment for the next one we're going to try.
All right. I'm not clouding judgment either. What do we got next?
So our next one is we had Ireland, now we're going to Scotland. This is scotch. This is
Johnny. This is scotch?
Yeah.
Oh, how funny. We were just talking about that.
I tried to, order these into, different or the same similar types of tastes.
Okay.
And similar type of proofs. That way we're not going from 40 to, 45 and 50 back to 40. Because once you start high, it's really hard to come back down.
That's fair.
So, yes, Johnny Walker Black Label. So there's Black Label, there's Red Label, and then there's Blue Label, which is about $250 a bottle.
Oh, my gosh. Why would you buy that?
I mean, everyone has different tastes. I am not the biggest fan of scotch because it has a...
you're pouring more into yours.
I was just trying to make sure we had the same amount. I think we do.
Now, is this the... So does it matter what you're drinking, whether it's whiskey, bourbon, scotch? Really, is tasting it the same way?
Yes.
Amongst all of them?
Whether you have to do the Kentucky Chew is up to you, but that smelling, sipping, letting it roll around your tongue, the whole is up to your discretion, but that's how most people...
It's like a smacking of the lip, folks. It's really that simple.
It just helps you process what that flavor is. And so you start with the... You're doing already.
Looking at the
color. Looking at it. This is a little lighter and darker.
I like to turn it on its side so I look like I know what I'm doing. and then I look a little bit fancier. I swish it around in the glass.
And then smell it. Parted lips.
I actually like the smell of this.
That perfume type fruity smell.
Yeah.
So that's what I don't like about scotch. So with scotch, when they're making it, they kind of use this, they use malted grains. And for most part, they use malted barley. And while they're drying it out, they introduce peat moss into the fire that they're using, and that kind of provides that fruity aroma that you're getting. Trent smacking his lips, trying to.
I'm like a fish. That's why I did it again. I was like, oh, fish.
But yeah. Most scotches have too much of a perfume taste for me to truly enjoy it, because it's like, I like the taste of corn and like the sweetness of whiskey, and this is like a.
Yeah, I like that one. I can, don't get me wrong, I taste perfume, but I, not that I like the taste of perfume, but I do like this one.
Yeah, that's that peat moss.
I could feel a little, it wasn't necessarily like a hard, hardcore burning, stinging, but I could feel it on the tip of my tongue this time. Not quite sure why, but.
So, overall, the flavor profile for this is supposed to have a variety of smokiness to it with layer of fruitiness. And when I taste that fruitiness, I remember that taste as like the smell of perfume. And so if you like scotch, you found something that you like. Johnny Walker Black will be perfect for you. But for me, I know my likes and dislikes, and I stray away from.
I guess that was something I had a question about. Was so, if someone's listening to this and they're like, "All right, maybe I want to try some whiskey," do you just kind of start somewhere, or do you know when you're going to the store, I should be looking for this, or is it just good luck?
It's a little bit of everything. So do your research. There's flavor profiles of everything. If you know there's something that you don't like from anything else you've ever drinking, follow that. Otherwise, they make sample sizes for a reason. Don't go buy the $40 bottle when you can buy the 99-cent bottle. That's kind of what we have here for those who can't see this image. Yes,
which would be everyone except us.
But, like, I bought everything as small because if I – let's see. Jameson, this is about $24. The Black Label is about – 19 to 24. Jim Beam's about 16 to 24, depending whether if you get in 750 or if you get in liter and 1.5. Jack Daniels comes in at 24. I'm not sure about the rye, and then Crown is also in that $24 range. So if I'm buying, and I like whiskey enough, but I don't like all these different types of whiskey.
Crown is expensive. I used to that used to be my drink, was Crown. My friend Travis used to drink that all the time, and then Chase, and then kind of just went on down the line of our friends. And then the switch to Gentleman Jack happened one day. Now I'm not really sure what they're drinking anymore because I don't live at home. But
See, and I have Gentleman Jack back at home. I haven't opened it yet. It was a gift for someone. But
well, you always have to taste it to make sure it's not poisoned, is usually
not for from. So like one day when I'm filling my gentleman, I'll probably crack that open.
Alright, good. No. I'm glad they didn't open it and try and taste it. Then I'm actually gonna eat one of these crackers this
because
time.
That peat moss is still on here.
Yeah, I don't
I'm about to smell the coffee.
I actually did take a huge sip of water. And I can still taste it.
That perfume tastes like a lot of people like scotch, and I don't knock them. I can see why that fruitiness may be good for some people, but after a while of drinking whiskey, I know what I like and I don't like, and so I stray away from scotch.
Of these, as I talk with a cracker in my mouth, that would be fun to play on here, like, how many saltines can you eat and still talk?
I think it's six before the moisture like all gets removed from your mouth.
That does not sound like fun, though. I guess I never said it would be. Of these six that we have here, as we continue to go down the line, which of these is your favorite? Like, which of these would be your go-to, or are none of them really your go-to?
College me would have said Jack, because Jack Cokes. Yeah. Jack goes good with everything.
Yep. Give me a Jack and Coke, yep.
And I think I romanticized the idea of like Frank Sinatra always drank Jack. As a matter of fact, he was buried with a bottle of
it. Oh, really?
And Jack Daniels produces a special line of I'm trying to say both his names. Frank Sinatra labeled Jack Daniels.
Okay.
Jim Beam is what I'm kind of getting more into now, more of bourbon type styled whiskeys. Out of the ones up here, I don't know if any one of them are my favorite. If I had to choose out of them, I'd probably go Jim Beam than Jack, just because they've gotten me through so many times.
Okay.
But yeah.
Good old boys, Jim and Jack.
Yeah.
All right, let's try the Jim Beam next.
Did the cracker work?
It did. It actually worked. Like, it's amazing that I don't taste anything anymore because I tasted the cracker. Yeah, but
you can still get the salt.
Yeah, you don't.
But I don't have that like fruitiness.
I don't have it on my palate.
No, this just.
Okay, so I want us to try the Jim. And then I want to actually ask you a question because you told me a very, interesting story about Jack Daniels the other day. Do you remember sharing that with me? Okay.
I have an interesting story about Jim too. So the original family that came...
Jim Beam, you're not on a first name basis with him.
Okay. Mr. Beam's family, when they immigrated from, Germany, their last name wasn't Beam. It was Bohm. B-O-H-M. They changed it to Beam after they got to America.
Why?
I couldn't find that out, but...
Well, you could have made something up.
I could, but
missed opportunity.
I'd be doing a disservice. I think it'd be
pretty funny for them to go up to someone in the Jim Beam factory and give them a false fact.
Yeah, but when... his name was Johannes Bohm. When he moved to America, he settled in Kentucky. And then... He made the first corn whiskey, not the first corn whiskey, but he first produced corn whiskey that later now we know as bourbon. So we're going to do the same process. We're going to smell it.
Isaiah, do these all look like the same color to you?
There's subtle differences.
Because the fact subtle, you can see that. You can see it though?
Yeah.
I can't.
Like this is a lot lighter than the Johnny Walker. Slightly lighter than the Jameson we were drinking.
I'm just like, yep, looks like apple juice or pee.
Hold it up to the light.
They both look the
You're
same.
More so angling it towards a darker area,
all right,
too.
Let's see if that actually makes a difference. Well, I guess if I haven't been doing this the entire time, I can't really compare yet. Oh, man, that one. Boy.
So
I just got the
of?
Chills and shivers from that.
Like I can immediately smell the
sweetness. Oh, I still get it.
I have it.
I have my mouth open. I'm still getting the chills. I'll taste this one. I don't know if I can finish this glass. I can barely sniff the thing. Oh my gosh. All right. Well, there's no good time to do it, I guess, than now.
So as you're taking your sips. So bourbon, like I said, has to at least be 51% corn. The Jim Beam white label that we're drinking here, their recipe calls for 77% corn, 13% rye, and 10% malted barley. How was that sip for you?
Not terrible.
Did it smell more potent than the taste?
Yes. Okay. Yes, it did. I'm not sure how I feel about it yet. Because typically, I'll tell you how I feel after the second sip. All right, so what do you have for,
what should you be experiencing? Well,
yes, what should I be experiencing?
So overall.
Thank you for knowing what I was asking.
There's a sweet woodiness to this with vanilla notes.
Vanilla?
Yeah, like. Like a vanilla root, vanilla extract.
Taste this again because I don't taste no vanilla.
Also, you've been drinking several different types of whiskeys at this point. But
I'm also not an expert.
From the smell, you should be getting corn, that light fruit and alcohol smell pretty much stuffing up your nose, which by your reaction beforehand, you definitely got that. And then on the taste, caramel and vanilla is what you should.
Okay. Be.
And so going back into making bourbon... Another rule that's in our federal statute, you have to use newly charred oak barrels. And the reason with that, what happens is, and I wish I could open up this barrel right now, but I can't.
It's just a tiny tabletop barrel. He didn't bring an actual barrel, unfortunately.
I mean, I did try to age some whiskey in here. And
did you?
Yeah, it leaked out because there was a hole in here that I didn't know.
Oh.
I was a little mad. If I remembered the company name, I'd throw them under the bus.
That's okay. I don't have any sponsors on this show, so you can throw whoever you need to under the bus.
But when they char it, that charring of the wood releases the natural sugars that lie in that wood. And so after it's doing its entire process over the seasons, it's pulling that natural sugar out of the wood. And so that's how we're getting some of these flavors within.
When you say char it,
you take a giant flamethrower.
Okay, and I wondered if you literally meant char.
Yeah, so like they put the staves in, the top is open. They have this special mechanical tool that goes in, and then it chars all the sides at once.
Oh wow!
And then it pulls out, and then they start shipping these barrels straight to the company. So, what's your overall impression on that one?
I think I liked it. Like I said, hard to say, but I think I liked it. Okay, you're not eating your whole cracker. Do I not have to eat the whole
cracker? You don't have to eat the entire cracker. You just need to eat enough to get that flavor out of your mouth.
Oh, I thought I had to eat the whole cracker. That's why I shoved it in my mouth earlier.
Yeah, because otherwise all that salt is going to dry out your mouth. You're going to be drinking a lot more water. I like Jim Beam overall. Like, I like more bourbons because we use corn for kind of sweetener for everything. High fructose corn syrup. That corn flavor is kind of sweet, and it's providing that sweetness to that Jim Beam.
All right. I want to look on this Jim Beam.
Oh, if you look at the other side, you'll see all the family members. I don't know if you've ever noticed that on a bottle.
No.
But it has all the generations starting from the very first. And I think about the third or the fourth master distiller was James, and he's the person that Jim Beam is named after.
Who is this is way too small to see.
Which one do you
want? Is it No or Mo?
It's No.
Okay.
You're looking at sixth or seventh generation of the Beam family, and he's the current master distiller.
So they're not Beams, now they're Jim No. Fred No.
Well,
may as well change the name.
His uncle or his great uncle was Jim Beam. And so that's kind of how it's just being like the CEO and whatnot.
I suppose. You know what I noticed on here? Or I guess for lack of better terms, what I didn't notice on here, which is what I was looking for, was ingredients. Typically, like on a beer, they'll put the ingredients. Why do you know why they don't do ingredients
I
on there?
Not. I think the only thing that goes in here is the governmental warning. I don't know if I don't know if that's a requirement for alcohol. I think it's just for food because there's everything is like the natural ingredient. There's no additives or whatnot. So all you really have in all of these bottles is a type of grain, water, yeast, and whatever wood they soaked it in.
Okay, well, interesting enough, I last night I visited Tap Into My Beer, tapintoyourbeer.com. You can look up, I don't know, I think it's all Anheuser-Busch, but you can look up all these different beers and see the calories and stuff, but it also tells you ingredients, and I just thought that was interesting, which is why I thought about looking for ingredients on here. But
and in a way, it tells you what's on here. You know, Irish and Scotch are kind of made the same. One of the main differences is Scotch is roasted. The barley is roasted over that moss peat, okay, which gives it that flavor. But you know, this and this the Jameson and Johnnie Walker are both going to be a barley type of whiskey.
Okay.
Bourbon and what we're going to get to the next one with the Tennessee whiskey is corn is going to be the base ingredient. And then rye. Canadian and most Canadian whiskeys are
Canada.
My home in nature. I don't know why. I know the entire Canadian.
The entire thing?
Yep. It's weird.
Nice.
In case I ever have to move there. But most of Canadian whiskeys are also rye whiskey, so their main ingredient is rye.
Okay.
But you can always expect a combination of mostly all those four grains to be in there. So whether or not that's a federal regulation for everything of why we don't, because it's not required, I'm not 100% certain. But that's why I know there's probably why there's not those ingredient labels on here, because water, grain.
So, you know, it's really funny. I'm a very picky eater, and corn is like the one thing that I always had to choke down as a child. But I guess technically you could say that I like corn.
I mean, do you eat cereal? Have you ever had corn flakes?
I have had corn
flakes.
That's
corn.
Like, I also put a crap ton of sugar on that.
I mean, whether or not, but like most of these are, all, if not all, are cereal type grains. Like your corn.
That means you can put it on your cereal.
I mean, you could try to put some Jack Jameson or whatever have you up here on your cereal. I didn't tell you to do it. But
start your day off right.
Should we move on to
Mr.
Daniels?
Tell me about Jack.
So, first fun fact about Jack. Did you know his real name is not Jack?
No.
His real name is Jasper.
Interesting.
Yeah, so
that sounds like an old Western name.
Yeah, it's Jasper Daniels. I forgot what his middle name was, but it was, I think it was more of a conventional middle name as well.
All right, this one looks a little darker than what we just had.
Yes, it is. Make sure.
Now, what would color have to do with flavor, or does it have to do with nothing?
It just depends on how long it's sat in the barrel, how they mixed it, how they've diluted it.
Okay.
Diluted, I think that's the right.
Dilute it? How yeah. they dilute it?
Yeah. Okay. I think I put a diluted it in.
Yeah. That's okay, though.
But, like I said, I'm not, like, that picky when it comes to color because I don't know myself.
It's nowhere near my mouth right now. It is probably about almost a foot away from my mouth. I don't know if it's from the wind wafting in your smell to
oh,
me.
Oh, do you smell yours?
Or I can smell it already.
Yeah, I don't think I can. I think it's the wind pushing mines to you.
Oh my gosh, that one gave me the shivers.
Are you making sure you're breathing in?
Yeah, with yeah, your mouth I am.
And not
Jack and I are not the best.
Bringing back old.
It's bringing memories. Back old memories.
I like the four horsemen.
And not good ones.
Jack, Jim, Jose.
I didn't have the four. I had the three though. The three wise men.
But going back to Jack Daniels.
Oh my gosh. So, I think that was Jack, Jim, and Johnny, wasn't it?
Yeah. And then if you add Jose, you got the...
Oh my gosh. This is the first time I've ever had all three since my 21st birthday.
Oh, I mean, well, good thing you're having like
Yikes.
Sample sizes and not like full-blown shots.
Yeah.
Can't have you being on the floor, right?
No. I don't think any of us want that.
So... Jack is a type of bourbon, and the sense it's made almost similar to how a bourbon is, and it has the same ingredient makeup. The only difference is, and part of the distilling process, so after they've put it through the, or after they've distilled it, and right before they mature it, they pour it over charcoal. And I was expecting that face when I said that. Except this charcoal is maple, not maple based, but do you know how charcoal is made?
No.
So you take wood.
Like charcoal that I put on the grill?
Yeah. Oh, versus no. like, not like your Kingsford charcoal,
right,
but
right.
like if you made your own charcoal, what you do is you'd get some wood, you burn it, you'd let it slowly burn until it blackened, and then you'd put out the fire or put out the fire and smoke
okay.
equally, and then you have coal.
Okay.
And so with the special maple wood that they use, after they turn into coal and they grind it up so it's small pellets, they fill this like three-story distill with the coal, and then they slowly drip each drop of Jack Daniels until it comes down the bottom, filtering all the like negative flavors and adding the flavor of the maple and whatnot, and then comes down to the bottom, goes straight into the barrel from there. That's what mainly differentiates
okay.
Jack from Jim.
And that doesn't matter if it's the, what is this that we're drinking?
We're drinking the Black Label, or not Black Label, Old Number 7. That's,
okay.
This is their, what put them on the map.
So that doesn't matter if we're drinking the Old Number 7 or the rye, that's going to be the same or no?
For the most part, yes. It's just the way they make their whiskey.
Okay.
And then this is going to be like put in a barrel for about 3 to 4 years. So what are you tasting, other than regret?
I don't know. I'm not very good at saying, like, this is the flavor that I taste.
It say you're supposed to taste charcoal. Like, I taste a smokiness, but I don't know if that's coming from the barrel or the charcoal.
See, and some of it might just be coming from my head of, like, maybe I think I'm tasting this, maybe I'm not.
But it says it's supposed to be sweet. This is a lot sweeter than the Jim Beam. And like, fun fact, I didn't realize what Jack Daniels tasted like because I never had drinking it without Coke.
I can't do the rest of this. This one's, this one's got me.
Ah, Trent, be still my heart. But yeah, so
I had to toss that one out.
Just too much memories?
Too many memories. Too many bad ones. No, that was a little bit bigger of a serving size for me that time. I just need enough for my... Keep in mind when you're pouring, I need enough for my sniff and sip and then a secondary sip, and I'm good.
Okay.
We're just going to breeze through it. I do like this cracker, though, because it's amazing to me how it works, that it just cleans your palate right away.
And you don't have to eat the entire cracker if you don't
want to. I'm just going to eat half this time.
But going back to that story that I was talking to you about. So, when I went to Lynchburg, not Kentucky, it's Tennessee. Oh, my goodness. I went to Lynchburg, Tennessee over this past summer and got a chance to visit the distillery in where Jack Daniels makes their stuff. And so as we were going through the history,
Jasper,
my good old friend Jasper. Oh, so I can be on a first name basis with Jasper, but not Jim. I see how it is. But they were talking about just the overall history while we were going on the tour. And one thing they brought up was how Jack or Jasper got into the making of all this whiskey. And so when he was a little boy, I forget if he ran away from home or if he left home, which I guess is still said we ran away from home. But he was taken in by this man who was a preacher and a distiller. His name was Dan Call. Dan saw that there was potential in Jack and assisted him making whiskey. At least that was the story pre-2016. After Dan was given an ultimatum, his preacher buddies were like, hey, you can't be a preacher and you can't be a distiller, so we don't care which one you choose, you just can't do both. Dan chose to be a preacher and he sold his business to Jack. That was pre-2016. What happened in 2016, I forget what newspaper had the story, but they discovered that there was a chance that there was a slave named Nathan Nearest Green that also worked under Dan Call, and he served as his whiskey maker. And he's the one who taught Jack how to make whiskey. And matter of fact, there was a quote somewhere in there that said that Dan referred to his slave being the best whiskey maker there was. Wow. And so when Dan finally sold off his business to Jack, and Nathan Nearest Green became a free man because slavery was abolished in 1865. Well, abolished, I put in, then
right.
Everything that followed. The first person that Jack hired was Nathan. And so Nathan became essentially not only the first African-American to be a master distiller, but a former slave making all this whiskey in the Deep South. And they kept this kind of secret for until 2016.
That's insane.
While we were there, they had this one photo, whether or not it was, I don't want to say his doctor because it looked like it had aged for a long period of time. It was Nathan's son who was sitting next to Jack Daniel. And not only sitting next to him, he was sitting on his right-hand side, which the term right-hand man was very, like, poignant back then. And so you have this photo, like, pre-1906 of Jack Daniels with an African-American by his side and about eight other white dudes with him just casually looking at a camera, taking a photo. I'm like, it wasn't nothing. And I thought that was probably one of the most shocking things I saw while I was there. While we're still in Jack, there's another funny story about him, but we can talk about that while we go to the Jack Daniels rye. So, any thoughts of anything we've had so far? You still liking that scotch the most?
Yeah, I think so. Oh. I think I'm digging the scotch. Now, I wouldn't buy the... I know that's the one you said you can get a $250 bottle of. I don't think I'd go that high ever. Yeah. Heck, I think even just getting a bottle in stores would be too high for me. But I would do it. But still, it would be quite the expense, of course.
Now, onto rye. Rye is a different beast in its own because it's spicy.
Oh, boy.
That's not spicy as in, like, when we were at B-Dubs earlier in the day and someone got the
Blazing.
Essentially did the Blazing Challenge but on their own. But you will taste, when I say it's spicy, as it coats your tongue, you'll understand what I mean. So you want to go through your first sip?
Oh, I'm kind of nervous now.
The flavor profile in this one says it should be light and spicy with a slight bitterness. And so can you get that from the smell at all?
Actually, from the smell, I don't get, like, a bitterness about it. I get more of a...
I still get the sweetness of, like, the Jack.
Yeah, it's almost like a sweet...
Be careful not to smell too much because all that fumes will go to your head and you can get lightheaded by doing that too. I should have said that.
Oh, really?
When we first started.
Oh, geez. I've probably been doing that the entire time I've been sitting here. I'm like, all right, I'm just going to
I don't think I've noticed until now because you're just taking deep breaths into it like, you're going to pass out.
If I do, it's your podcast and it's your job to cut this off. Actually, we're at, and it doesn't matter what time we're at, but... we're at an hour 11.
Oh, wow.
I know. Time just flies by.
11:11, or I guess 1:11, make your whistle.
Time flies by when you're drinking whiskey.
So we're going to take our sip. Get that spice. I don't know if you've allowed it to.
Yeah.
I like
my disgusted face should show it all.
It's not very popular, but it's not very sought upon. It's a very, like, specific thing that certain people go to.
I do not like that one.
And this is part of, like, experiencing what you don't like and what you like. So with that, what did they say with this?
Do you want the rest of that one?
Oh, I don't know if I can finish this
one. All right, I'm tossing this one.
You just don't like Jack today.
Oh, my gosh. Well, the rye is the worst one of them all.
Well, you're going to... Well, Canadian whiskey is essentially rye, just a little bit sweeter. And they do add...
Okay, I like sweet, but I apparently don't like Jack rye.
Yeah, I couldn't find, like, a...
That was spicy.
I don't know...
Like, it sat on my tongue. I could feel it. Like, it sat on my tongue... Even though I was a fish and did the lip smacks, the feeling on my tongue, it just wasn't like any of the other ones. All the other ones almost were like a little bit more of a smoother feel in a way.
Yeah.
Comparatively to the rye, where I could feel it on the tongue and I was... I mean, without... I can't even use words here. You could probably, looking at me, you could probably tell the moment that I could feel it on my palate because of how quick my face changed to the most disgusted look I can imagine.
So, do you want to hear what people had to say what that tasted like?
Hopefully they say it tasted awful because that's what I would have said.
So, it says spice.
Oh, yep.
Banana.
What the
heck? Oak, marshmallows, char, and a bit of orchid fruit.
Marshmallows.
People taste and smell. And
they taste spicy marshmallows.
Spicy banana marshmallows, if you want to be technical. But going back to my secret story of Jack Daniels, one that I learned when I went on the tour. Hashtag not spot. So they told the story of I don't even know how to preface the story. Jack worked with his nephew, and every day Jack's nephew would come in early, open the safe, and Jack would close down. So, like, his nephew would work early in the morning, he would work late at night. One day, Jack comes in early, goes to open the safe. He's forgotten the combination because he's never had to enter it in such a long time. Keeps trying to open it. Out of frustration, he kicks this steel-plated safe, breaks his foot, doesn't go to the hospital.
That was smart.
Yeah. And so, after weeks of not going through a treatment or, like, getting anything done, gangrene starts to set in. So they've had to slowly hack off his feet.
Oh, my gosh.
And then his ankle, then his leg, and then his thigh, and then he died from gangrene.
That's how he died?
Yeah. And they...
He died from kicking a safe.
Yes. Or, as the tour guide told me, the main lesson to learn there is don't go to work early. You just might die. Or it just might kill you. That was the way he phrased it. So there's a little bit morbid humor for you. Get that spice out of my mouth. But. So our last whiskey.
You ended up finishing yours?
I mean, whiskey is whiskey. I finished the scotch and I don't like it. So good or bad, I don't wish.
Oh my gosh.
So Crown Royal. Or Royal, or however you like to pronounce your AL.
What do you say?
I think I'm overthinking it now because I don't remember.
All right, here's one for you. I'm going to write it down. Well, no.
Are we going to do the big bag?
No, I'm going to ask you. So when you were a child.
Crayon?
Yeah, how did you say it?
I say crayon.
Crayon?
Yeah.
Yeah, I...
crayon?
Yeah.
Sometimes I...
I think that I probably used to say crayon, but as I got older, I say crayon.
Yeah, I think it's part of that laziness, but I used to say crayon and then crayon.
Like,
then
what crayon. About the, what would you call this? Like a, not chocolate sauce, but,
like syrup?
No, blank sauce. It starts with a C.
And it's, oh, caramel versus caramel.
Yeah, what do you say?
I say caramel, but if I'm being pretentious, I say caramel.
What is it really? Do you know?
I think it's whatever.
Whatever you say. Tomato, tomato. Thing.
I say bubbler, but whenever I go out of central Wisconsin, or not even central Wisconsin, like this whole like 60 degree radius, it's either a fountain or a water
yes,
fountain.
Yes, someone earlier today and I were actually arguing before a session started that... whether it was the bubbler or the drinking fountain.
Yeah, and so it'll be forever a bubbler, and I have a side, like, rant about that if you want
to
go.
Well, and then when this person got up, they said to me, I'm going to the watering hole if you would like to go with me, and I think just to piss me off.
So when the whatever device you like to call it was invented right here in Kalar, Wisconsin. It was named the bubbler. And so that's, like, on the copyright thing, is the bubbler. After the copyright ended, other places start making their own, and they just called it whatever they want to call it. So that's why if you look at, like, a scatter plot of people who call it a bubbler and people who call it a drinking fountain or whatever, that's why it's so different, because it was invented here, and so we just stick with what it was called.
So where do you know then where geographically it would be called a bubbler besides Wisconsin? Because in Michigan, it was drinking fountain.
So there's surprisingly two places other than Wisconsin. There's this place in the Northeast. I forget if it's in Massachusetts or, like,
New
Jersey area.
Not, like, even close.
Yeah, and so, like, you have, like, this... like, small red dot right on the edge of Wisconsin, and then somewhere in the
interesting.
East Coast.
Okay.
But
we have our one of our final whiskeys. I have a surprise one for you because I want you to taste that. But
is that the bottom shelf?
Yes, this is a bottom shelf. This, the one we're drinking, is a Crown.
That's the surprise whiskey, is the bottom shelf?
Yeah. Because after tasting all of these are like your mid shelves. None of these are like too high.
Is that going to be rough?
We'll see. I haven't drank it in a while, gosh. So.
For a good reason. Isaiah told me earlier, he thinks he's probably had this for 3 years. And there is still plenty in the bottle.
And there's about like a fourth.
Quarter. Which is still plenty in the bottle.
Whiskey doesn't go bad.
Oh, you already poured this?
Oh, it's already been poured, yeah. So
don't take. Get off on Royal and Royale.
Oh, yeah.
It's always funny how you get on those conversations.
So this is another type of rye. Whether or not it's going to be as spicy, it depends on your kind of taste, but it's supposed to be light-bodied and more versatile, is what the company said.
How do you know if it's more versatile?
It's what they just label things as at this point.
Versatile versus versatile.
Versus what people said on the nose, it's kind of rich and robust with slight hints of vanilla and fruit. I can smell the vanilla.
Oh, sorry. I've smelled like 4 times already. I keep forgetting that you shouldn't be doing that.
Like 1 or 2 is a good gauge. I realize I haven't had Crown in a long time or forever.
It's good.
It's not as a spicier rye as the American style rye.
Yeah, I like it.
But
maybe that's why I used to buy Crown. Would make sense. It is very smooth, in my opinion. Does that say smooth on there?
Let's see. Oh, wow, that went down the wrong pipe. I tried to, swallow it too fast.
It's like me drinking Jameson.
It says delicately smooth and creamy with hints of oak and sweet flavor.
Yes, I would have said delicately smooth as well. I knew I left a word out there.
You got to remember your adjectives. You got to really describe what you're drinking.
I have actually I think this is more for beer. It might have... I've never looked up whiskeys or anything on it. There's an app that my wife told me about called Untappd. Have you heard of it?
Yes, I also have that on my phone.
Oh, okay. So does it have whiskeys and stuff on there?
There is.
Have you ever looked at the words you can use to describe? It's so amazing to me, all the different words. And I'm like, I don't know half of these.
Well, part of Untappd's feature is just to what does it remind you of? And it's more of keywords for you to remember, so if you ever want that flavor again, you can enter stuff like this. You've tried this before. But they also have one for wine, vino. I can't remember the whiskey one because it's on my phone right now. I got a new phone. But that brings us to, after you finish your thing, and this is more of an educational experience as well as just the drinking of it. Because there's some words on here, and while we go into it, we're going, where was I going? Oh, one of my last stories, if not stories, a fun fact. So, just say me and you want to open up a distillery right now. We want to be the bourbon and rye and the American scotch, even though we can't call it scotch, makers of the future. So we buy this place. We buy all the materials, and we put stuff in a barrel. What do we do next if the stuff has to age?
We let it sit.
But what do you do in the time being? You have nothing to sell, and if you have nothing to sell, how do you keep your business open?
Well, we didn't think that far ahead.
So there are places that essentially wholesale and make their own products for you to blend together.
Which is where we come into bottom shelf, huh?
Not necessarily bottom shelf. So there's this corporation in Lawrenceburg, Indiana. They're called the MGP Corp. They make all types of whiskeys, vodka, gin, and they sell it to manufacturers who make their own stuff. This is, unfortunately, I couldn't find a MGP bottle that I had because I just unfortunately never had the opportunity. But what you do is, while you're waiting for your stuff to age, you take their stuff that's already been aged, mix and mingle types of things, and you package it as your own.
Okay.
One way to determine if one of your thing, if you go out and buy a bottle now, how do I know if I'm buying something that was made by the MGP
Corp? Right.
It will say distilled in Indiana, and that's just a good clue that you're getting one of those wholesale type alcohols.
Does it say on there?
This one's not. This one was Owensboro, Kentucky. So this is a bourbon whiskey.
Okay.
I don't know if Tin High, where they rank in the levels of stuff. But I brought this bottle not only because I wanted to see your face when you drank some.
Oh, jeez.
But there's a lot of education that goes on this bottle. So when you read it, you see sour mash, Tin High, Kentucky, bourbon, whiskey.
Yeah, sour. I don't like sour stuff.
So that's the thing. Sour mash has nothing to do with the flavor. It's how it's made. So when we're in the making process, we have the grains, and then we have to mash and cook. What sour mash is just essentially saying is we take a couple of the mash that we had beforehand and mix it in with a new batch. That way we have some of the continuing yeast, some of the continuing flavors traveling along to the next batch and trying to create like that longevity of having the same type of thing. That's what sour mash means. Blend. So if you do a little more looking, you see on the back it says 51% straight whiskey and then aged at least 36 months. So bourbon has to be aged a certain amount of time.
Okay.
And then 49% grain neutral spirits. So a blended whiskey means you're taking two different whiskeys and putting them together. And so that's where you get a blend. And I just thought this is just a good model to show you like how everything is advertised in every bottle. You just have to be looking for it.
All right, just give me a really, really, really tiny splash. I really just want enough to be able to do one little taste.
Let's see.
Because let me tell you why. All right, that's good. Because let me tell you why. I just Googled how good is Ten High. And so I found this article from Deadspin.com from 2013, and they ranked 10 of them. Let me tell you where Ten High comes in. Number 9. And this is what they write.
Is it the 10 worst or the 10 best?
Let's see.
Oh, context matters.
Cheap bourbons ranked. That's the name of the article.
Number I mean, 9. It made the top 10.
Wait until you hear this description.
Okay.
Number 10 was Old Thompson American Whiskey. And it's the first sentence in that is, this mean bastard is a blend of whiskey and neutral grain spirits, and it's utterly worthless. So, I'm going to keep reading because I want you to know what Ten High says after this. This is the Old Thompson. OT is the rare American whiskey that doesn't even show off any cheap corn sweetness. It's monotonously evil in a way that it's hard to describe other than by noting it's earthy in the bad way, like a shiny mud puddle or a pissed mattress. That leads us into number 9, Ten High. Because they reference Old Thompson. This full bourbon blend isn't quite good, but it's leagues ahead of Old Thompson. It smells like subprime caramel in a way that evokes the guts of a Milky Way that's old enough for the crust to have turned kind of gray around the edges, but not too old to eat. It tastes like it smells, plus some lemon. Ten High isn't good enough to drink straight, which we're about to do, but its flaws can be hidden in a whiskey sour.
Okay. I've been drinking this straight all the time, and I've never had a problem.
Let me point out some key phrases I just heard here. Before I drink this, this full bourbon blend isn't quite good.
Okay.
It evokes the guts of a Milky Way that's old enough for the crust to have turned kind of gray around the edges, but not too old to eat. And it tastes like it smells, plus some lemon.
That's them using those adjectives to describe a flavor.
Again, it ends on, isn't good enough to drink straight.
I've been drinking this straight for at least 3 years.
Oh my gosh. I just got chills down my whole body.
I mean, this is going to burn no matter how much you like try to. So
what if like I drink, what, I might chase this with water, to be honest, because I can already tell this is going to be awful.
Bottoms up.
Now, is this one that you would swish in your mouth, or is this one you just throw back?
I've done both. Like, I've just did it there. I mean, after drinking all of this, I can barely taste that. And that's another reason, because the more air that allows to go into the bottle, so while whiskey doesn't expire, the change or the flavor will change over time the more air that gets inside those bottles.
So what you're saying is they describe this as shitty, and really now it's just going to be shittier.
I mean, you can say that, or you can say that it's an acquired taste like all the other ones are.
It's acquired, all right.
I mean,
oh my gosh. I can't do this. I can't do it. I'm putting it on my finger and tasting it. Is that going to work or no?
You're not going to get as, like, I poured you such a minimum amount. It looks more than it actually is. That is like a sip, if not less. The other samples were bigger than that.
All right, I'm getting like a cracker ready. I'm psyching myself out over here. All right, just look at the color. Yeah, whatever. I'm going for it. Oh my gosh, I can taste it, and I'm not even tasting it yet.
Well, that's part of that breathing in the fumes.
Oh, I did that twice, and not I didn't overexceed this time.
All right. I believe in you, Trent.
I'm glad someone does, because I don't believe in me right now. Oh my gosh.
Oh, you still taste it after all that?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. It was so smooth for me, but I guess that's... Yeah. So we know you don't like Tin High, or at least a three-year-old Tin High.
Yeah, I would agree. I actually would amend this and say that the Milky Way has been moldy for a few years.
But yeah, that's everything that we've had. So you've determined that you are looking more at scotch over everything else.
So really, like you said, the best way, if someone, like, what to you is good whiskey?
Flavors are there. Like, it's not like I'm drinking rubbing alcohol. Like, I'm tasting something other than, like, straight alcohol.
That's why you would hate Ten High?
I think I've drank whiskey for so long that when I drink Ten High, it's like water.
You're immune to it.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, it's like really bad water to me.
I was able just to shoot that back down, and like I swished it around, and
yeah. Yeah, okay. So if you would have watched Isaiah, he took this like a champ, like no problem. This would be like the Nathan's hot dog eating contest. And Isaiah's like Joey Chestnut, and I'm the spectator at home, some amateur trying to do it in my bedroom, and I just can't even eat a hot dog.
But yeah, that's it. That's everything, at least I know, that I can verbalize about what type of whiskeys are what type of whiskeys, how to go find your own type, and... Yeah, there's a website if you want to know more about whiskeys called whiskeymuse.com, and it gives you like a little beginner's guide of how to identify what type of whiskey's for you, how to make whiskey, and all of that.
Whiskey Muse, so whiskeymuse.com.
Yep.
And you can find more there. Isaiah, before we go, something that I always ask people, which I'm sure you've heard listening to a couple of podcasts. Have you heard how I've ended podcasts?
Some.
Okay. So I usually always ask people for my final question, like, what is it that you've learned?
Trent doesn't like
Well, yeah, of course. So. That I don't like Ten High. And so it can either be about whiskey, it cannot be something about whiskey, it can be whatever you want people to take away from today or life or anything. Share something with the people.
I think I'll stick with whiskey because I can't, like, I don't want to, like, think for five minutes on the spot. there are so many different types of whiskeys, and you don't know what you don't know, and you don't know what you don't like until you try it all. When I was vacationing in Tennessee, there was this place that served nothing but whiskey. They had about 50, 60, maybe hundreds of different whiskeys on their wall. And it was just basically try to taste them all at that point. They had everything from, like, the cheap stuff, like your Tin High, to all the good stuff, like your Pappy 23. And that's kind of like in life. You never know, like, experiences. You never know what you're going to like until you try it. Adapting that to myself, I've tried everything from skateboarding, getting a motorcycle, skydiving, essentially being a little, my own little, like, risk taker within my own scope, because I've always wanted to at least try something to see if I liked it or not. You've had that ability right now. You know there are some things you're going to stick away because you have bad memories. There's some stuff that just no matter how hard you try, it's just never going to work. And there's stuff you're going to come back home to because it's what you remember. And that's kind of how life is. Life is like whiskey. Remember that. That's my takeaway. Life's like whiskey.
Yeah, I mean, we tried 7 of them today, and I only tossed out 3 of them. So, really. So, the majority of the time, you're going to win, is what the what the story is. Awesome. Well, thank you for sharing your knowledge today, Isaiah, and letting me be a part of this whiskey tasting.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Awesome. I mean, we talked about it last week. Jonna talked about it, the why not, and that's what Isaiah kind of said in the very beginning is, why not just come on the podcast and talk about whiskey and his love for it and all the wealth of knowledge that he has. And so I appreciate him coming on to share this week and to try something new. Like Isaiah was saying, you can always just get the little, what do you call those? Like little tasting
sample
bottles,
size, sample the traveler size. Just
okay.
The hotel mini that they're going
to those are good to take into a restaurant if you need to. I'm not condoning that. I'm just, it's just something you could do or onto an airplane, but I've seen people get yelled at for that. Again, not condoning it, just talking out of my mouth here. So as I mentioned in the beginning of the podcast, don't forget to check out Nora Collins. Listen to her music. Again, she was really great. So if you like country music, Isaiah does not like country music. So he will not check out Nora Collins, but I know maybe you will. It's going to get crazy for the next couple of weeks for me, but don't let that make you think that the podcast is going to stop or anything. The podcast can't stop. It won't stop. Got to give the people what they want. Make sure you check me out on SoundCloud or on Apple Podcasts, which, funny enough, you obviously found me somehow because you're listening. But if for some reason you aren't on SoundCloud or aren't on Apple Podcasts, again, feel free to subscribe to the podcast to make sure you never miss an episode. All right. Last week I told you who was going to be on this week. Can't really do that for next week because I don't really know. Who knows what's going to happen? No one really does. I would say except me, but even I don't know. So we'll catch you next week.